Welcome to the A News Podcast. This is episode 10 for May 6th. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week. This podcast is designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism at our email address, podcast@anarchistnews.org. Most stories have more information at the non-sectarian anarchist news site, anarchistnews.org. Editorial. Local and world politics. The world of politics has certainly been a wild ride this year. This week alone, with elections coming up in France and the ongoing process of governments around the world making drastic headlines with love-hate relationship of mainstream media, we look towards how this pertains to the world of anarchism. It could be said that many anarchists pay extremely close attention to this world, even while having a strong distaste for such close reading. In turn, some base their anarchist actions and responses to such governments' call to action. Writing letters the old-fashioned way to the news and elected officials, calling up and leaving a message for their government representative, and as can be seen over the past week, making signs and marching down a street somewhere near you. While on the other side of things, even those who begrudgingly follow along with the latest in world politics take a strong anti-political approach to such events. On the more rebellious side, putting your body and mind on the line for the idea. Between these two camps, play out the other love-hate of international anarchism. Perhaps common everywhere is a sense of disempowerment, despair, and hopelessness when we see our actions, whatever they may be, after we wake up the next day, and the beautiful idea we have based our lives on is no closer to realization than last night's wonderful dream. Some may argue that perhaps these global catastrophic events, carried out in the name of world politics in the short run, are discouraging, but over time strengthen whatever it is that the international anarchist base may be or become. You have to crack a few eggs if you're going to make that omelet for your friends and loved ones. I grew up reading the news daily and being amazed, disgusted, shocked, and a million other things about what the world outside of my daily life was actually like. These formative years as a young teenager reading the news played an especially formative role in discovering the most beautiful ideas of anarchism. At anarchistnews.org, we often take the brunt of critiques from all sides in response to the coverage and commentary shared on the site, metaphorically cracking a few eggs. It is obvious that even as those worldwide political events unfold, there are those who, no matter the camp, enjoy attacking other anarchists more than whatever their instruction manual proclaims as public enemy number one. Why is this political thing covered and that other one not? Why are such comments allowed? And what is up with the collective? Then, as the next day unfolds, we return to our daily lives, our work, and the wash-rinse cycle of world politics repeats, with slightly different beginnings, middles, and ends. The stories, the comments, and the reactions keep coming as our levels of loss and victory wax and wane throughout this first week after May Day 2017. What's new this week? Sign on to a statement of solidarity with hashtag DisruptJ20 defendants. A call for people to join a petition of support for the folks arrested at the protest opposing Trump's inauguration. Quote, the charges against J20 defendants are an experiment. If the courts are able to successfully prosecute those arrested at J20, this will send a green light to the forces of repression seeking to contain, control, and eliminate social movements around the country. Just as all of our struggles are connected, we understand these arrests to represent a real threat to all efforts towards true freedom, dignity, and autonomy. We call for the immediate dropping of all charges and express our sincere solidarity with and support for those arrested and encourage others to do so as well. Unquote.
New blanket felony charges pressed against J20 arrestees, an unprecedented use of punitive charges as a tactic of mass intimidation. From CrimeThink, the tactics of the state get gradually more and more draconian. Quote, adding additional felony charges to hundreds of defendants rounded up in a mass arrest is unprecedented in the contemporary U.S. legal system. It marks a dramatic escalation in the repression of protest in this country. Essentially, over 200 people swept up for being in the vicinity of a confrontational protest are being accused of breaking the same handful of windows. Unquote.
Mixtape for May Day 2017, music for your activities.
First communique of individualists tending towards sativa, anarchists at Montreal 420. a report back on the Canadian 420 anarchist insertion that has been mentioned here in previous weeks. Quote, "Besides, we make these spaces better just by hanging around. We can bring a little drama, a little lively conversation, to a space that is otherwise entirely passive, and where the only political messages present are the entirely unimaginative ones presented by young liberals of Canada and those too damn hooked on pro-market economic dogma. This report back is offered in the hopes of pushing more anarchists to leave their living rooms and get a little rambunctious, a little ostentatious, in what social spaces remain for us to contest and partially create. While 420 is over, there are still music festivals coming up, pro-weed demonstrations and rallies, graduating class of 2017 field parties, and informal gatherings of all kinds. Rainbow family, anyone? All across the territories of the United States and the Canadian state. We think that such events are worth attending in and of themselves, problematic as they may be, that writing them off beforehand, at the very least, is not very interesting." Unquote.
The next 100 days, May Day and worker resistance under Trump. This is a story from Black Rose Anarchist Federation, with first-person stories of workers going out on the streets. Quote, "Despite declining numbers, millions of workers are still members of existing unions that should not be ignored. While we have no illusions about transforming mainstream unions into vehicles for liberation, we support efforts to develop rank-and-file tendencies that are independent of the leadership and committed to building struggle in and outside of the workplace. Regardless of the method or organization, our task is to build a combative, worker-controlled, and class-struggle-oriented labor movement." Unquote.
The May Days, Stories of Courage and Resistance. A piece from Crimethink about how some historical May Days from 1871 through to last year.
Hurrah for Anarchy, May Day as celebrated by the anarchists. An entry from Strangers in a Tangled Wilderness, a publisher of anarchist culture. Strangersinatangledwilderness.com. This piece explains some of the details of the Haymarket Massacre, which was, for those who care, a radicalizing experience for Voltairine de Cleyre, among many others. Quote, "May Day, to the anarchists, is a holiday of remembrance. Perhaps you've heard the communists and liberals say that it's a celebration of the 8-hour workday. I suppose it's that, too. But for me, it's a holiday to remember when the state put anarchism itself on trial. In 1886, the line was drawn, and the U.S. radicals lost their innocence. The illusion of free speech and free association was shattered. Let that illusion never reform." Unquote.
Building Anarchist Forces, the IRPGF and an International Struggle. Another interview with the IRPGF, the International Revolutionary People's Guerrilla Forces, this one with IGD, that addresses what people abroad can do to help, why they came to Rojava, and touches on their definition of anarchism. Quote, IRPGF, "Our role in Rojava is first and foremost to help defend and ensure the success of the revolution on both a social and military level. Secondly, our role includes spreading anarchist principles and theory through education programs and exchanges with local communes and collectives. We see ourselves here in Rojava as a constitutive part of the project of democratic confederalism, and we carry out whatever work is necessary to achieve the project's revolutionary goals and aims. While we all came here with these ideals and principles, the longer we have stayed, the more we have seen and understood the richness and complexity of the revolution and the people, not only in an analytic sense, but also in an emotional sense. For example, here we have gained a new understanding of comradeship that would have never developed in individualistic societies. This has allowed our understanding of the revolution to be much more nuanced and comprehensive than any armchair revolutionary attempting to critique from afar." Unquote.
Of Mead and Molotov, from godsandradicals.org, from their website, quote, "We think that resistance should be beautiful because the idea isn't to replace a violent world with more violence or a dreary world with more dreariness, but to replace what has become destructive and cruel with something beautiful and life-affirming." Unquote. This article in particular discusses, in the context of May Day's dual history, the hostility and overlaps between pagans and anarchists.
Anarchism Against Time. This is a notification about a new book from Stalking the Earth, which says about itself, quote, "This website is an attempt to collect and detail all the previous and future research in one accessible location. Please bear with us as our website is still being decanted into whatever it may become. Soon, though, the databases will be filled with our old and new discourses on society." Unquote.
On the French election, no bosses, no nations, no Le Pen, no Macron. From the website Bordered by Silence, a site for publishing English translations of current anarchist and anarchistic texts circulating in Francophone Europe. This is essentially an anti-voting article, pointing out the historical and current anarchist understanding of and frustration with continuing to knock our heads against that particular wall. Quote, "Each time we hear the same refrain from all sides, inciting us to go vote. Behind the nagging spiel of the more well-intentioned, we always hear the same reformist mystification, leading us to believe that if we elect the right candidate, it's possible to gradually change the unequal and hierarchical structures of society without any sudden convulsions, one improvement at a time. But even this lie only manages to wear away at the combative spirit of those who struggle for their emancipation and for a real direct transformation of the world." Unquote.
The Bay Area's Antifa movements are alive and well. Another fairly supportive article on Antifa from mainstream media, Vice Magazine.
The Religion of Green Anarchy. This is a thoughtful, well-written article on the weaknesses of the most easily accessible green anarchist theory from a green anarchist perspective. Quote, "Many land defense struggles in North America focus on the purity of the wild when coming from a settler green anarchist perspective. Based on the propaganda and analysis that comes from this perspective and out of these struggles, we seek to defend these spaces from industrial civilization, and through this, colonial expansion, because we are defending the last wild areas from which we can subsist. This belief in wild and untouched spaces is not only unfounded, but falls into the creation of a morality of the wild which takes on a religious tone. This religious tone can be broken down into A, good wilderness versus bad wilderness, and B, preservation of a utopia or heaven for future generations. Oftentimes, settlers in North America lack a coherent culture. There is no North American culture outside of capitalism. This religious tone can be understood as a response to this cultureless void as we try to create a context for ourselves, an anchoring for our identities. When we approach land defense struggles from this moralist and future-oriented perspective, we limit the potential of these struggles. The primary drive of engaging in land defense struggles for future generations can prefigure the struggles themselves. This leads to an acceptance of concessions and defeats, as we are able to convince ourselves that a failed land defense is contributing to a culture of resistance with which the future generations can engage. What would these struggles look like were we to see them as bookended by our life and death, breaking from the limitations of morality, culture, or the future generations? What trajectory would a land defense take if individual sensory experience were the guiding principle?" Unquote. Nature is a Whore gets my vote for best section title of the year.
When the Riot Cops Attack, Repression and Solidarity in Portland's May Day. A piece from Black Rose Anarchist Federation, this is a report back from May Day in Portland, pointing out the heavy leftist and internationalist presence of the event, and then the abrupt and intense police reaction. The police revoked the license for the march, which many marches could not hear, so they were surprised by tear gas, etc. The Black Bloc responded, and the media once again were complicit with the police.
The Spiders of Mutual Aid, Solidarity, and Direct Action. This is another article on the May Day March in Portland, but since it's from CrimeThink, it's quite posy. The article introduces and gives instructions on how to make large spider puppets. Some people might remember the giant heads and hands from Art and Revolution protests, but giant spiders on shopping carts are upgrades since they allow for easy access to helpful supplies and because they take up lateral space rather than mostly vertical and so offer some protection when desired.
Black Bloc protesters hurl Pepsi cans at police, set newspaper boxes on fire in the Portland street. From the Willamette Week, a mainstream media site, this is more upbeat than the Black Rose and less posy than the CrimeThink version, and raises, among other points, the possible long-term consequences of the Portland police calling the event a riot and thus getting Homeland Security involved.
Reflections on Bashback, 2007-2010, an interview. IGD interviews a member of the influential, if short-lived, group Bashback. Quote, "Overall, Bashback was antagonistic towards society at large, toward the mainstream GLBT movement, toward the state, the church, the family, capitalism. It fundamentally had an antisocial character and was against the institutions that produce us as subjects, certainly including as gendered and sexualized subjects. Through our words, aesthetic, and deeds, we constituted a queer force of desire and negation. This force encountered gender in a number of ways, from people choosing ridiculous and ever-changing preferred gender pronouns, like food items, to gender-fucking attire in blocks, to disrupting pro-marriage marches and galas, to vandalism of church. But the tension I think your question leads us to was the contradiction in mobilizing around an identity that is meant to be an anti-identity. We were critical of identity politics, and yet at times we were engaging in identity politics, whether we wanted to admit it or not. If identity is a trap, then was Bash Back not also a trap of our own making? And really, this was one of the fundamental tensions in Bash Back. People related differently to identity politics. Those who came from anarchist scenes tended to be critical of identity politics, while those who came from queer scenes tended to be less so, more like the militant wing of identity politics. Unquote. LittleBlackCart.com carries the book Queer Ultraviolence, which details the group Bash Back in some detail.
Building new solidarities between movements, insurrectionary politics of food autonomy in the city of Athens. This article is from autonomies.org. Quote, the aim of autonomies is to explore, imagine, and thereby contribute to the creation of those relations that deepen our freedom and equality, unquote. The article discusses some of the repercussions of the revolts in Athens after the murder of Alex Grigoropoulos, specifically about challenges to capitalist infrastructure. Quote, more concrete and also spontaneous alliances have also resulted from relations with the radical trends of new, more specifically focused movements. In answering to increased rates of unemployment, they have come together with the radical trends of a new social and solidarity economy movement, which has been built by establishing networks of structures of solidarity, with the new Greek trend of the back to the land movement, built by the increasing numbers of the educated young, urban unemployed, moving to the countryside to farm in Greece since 2008. The no middleman movement, which has been built since 2012 by the cooperation among farmers and consumers in the cities to facilitate both the distribution and the consumption of food. These are movements and alliances that have brought together a great diversity of constituencies, from students to retired activists, the unemployed and civil servants, from women to men, migrants and refugees, consumers, farmers, old activists, and new rebels, unquote.
Belated, May Day feature, a memo from the office. From Running Wild. The Running Wild website says about itself, quote, Running Wild is an anarchist collective of diverse ideas, practices, initiatives, and interests. It is a rebellious network aspiring to provide a space of inflammatory counter-information and action, a banner for decentralized, multidimensional collective action, striving to highlight and contribute to the diverse anarchist and revolutionary movement, unquote. This article is a personal story of someone's time as a telemarketer and how the job became more bearable when he made friends.
France, on not voting, an anti-electoral attack. A second piece on the elections in France and the futility, if not counterproductivity, of voting, also translated by the website Bordered by Silence. This one is shorter, more personal, and includes a list of actions rejecting elections, from Talence to Bordeaux. Quote, I don't vote because I want to live in a world without masters or slaves, and such a desire will never fit into a ballot box. Instead, I want to take charge of my life and push myself to create it while revolting against the existing order and the misery it imposes on lives everywhere. Unquote.
May Day 2017 in Paris, a report from the streets. CrimeThink provides this report back. Quote, all this is further evidence, should more evidence be necessary, that fighting against the extreme right means fighting against the state. It is something we must make a daily practice. Unquote.
News of Opposition, March and April 2017. The website Dialectical Delinquents brings this monthly report on actions called News of Opposition. As they put it, this section will be mostly full of links to various, often mainstream articles giving information about certain aspects of independent opposition to this society throughout the world that might have escaped the notice of other sites claiming to oppose capitalism. This month's report is extensive. Check it out at anarchistnews.org or dialectical-delinquents.com.
Media projects. Transmissions in a hostile territory. From IGD, a short, free PDF of the history of a pirate radio station specifically broadcasting into a prison. It gives some concrete information on the radio setup, as well as interesting information about how ill-prepared the DOC, Department of Corrections, was to deal with such a thing, at least in terms of how to charge the broadcasters who were caught after 8 months. Definitely a creative project. Check it out.
Essays in Anarchism and Religion, Volume 1. An announcement of Volume 1 of Anarchism and Religion, a book, and free download with 8 academic essays ranging from the anarchism of the historical Jesus to Zen Buddhism, the philosophies of Stirner and Proudhon.
Podcasts: The Anarchists, Episode 7, The Fight for Better Wages, Freedom of the Press, and more. Just 2 of the 3 normal hosts for this episode. They cover higher minimum wage being good, details about how unemployment numbers are figured, it introduces the economic concept of monopsony, which is a limited buyer rather than limited seller, and offers the thought that reform that makes people's lives better now is more important work than revolution in 50 years. They talk a lot about electoral politics in France, electoral politics in England. The British podcaster says who he'll be voting for. The non-British host argues that we have only a few years to organize effectively, or the extreme right parties will be elected into power in multiple places on the frustration and anger of the people. Chechnya and concentration camps for gay men in particular, and some context of the situation there. Finally, the FBI threat to charge Assange and WikiLeaks.
Free Radical Radio returns with the collected writings of Renzo Novatore. Free Radical Radio started as a podcast with co-hosts who talked about and through their agreements and disagreements and changing analyses. The podcast took a break and is now back as a project of multiple readers recording audiobooks. Quote, after a year of hiatus, Free Radical Radio is returning in a new iteration. We are a group of anarchists, nihilists, label haters, readers, but above all, we find joy and passion in the sharing and discussion of ideas. We intend to use this project as an outlet to share audio recordings we have created that challenged us, interested us, or made us laugh so hard that we cried. There is a possibility that podcasts will happen again, but only if we are inspired and driven by our own desires to make them happen. Unquote. They start with a poetic, inflammatory, inspiring Novatore.
Free Radical Radio audiobooks number 2, they also released the ITS communiques 1 and 2, the second FRR release in its new iteration. ITS, as Zerzan will be happy to remind you, is a group that is notorious for anti-humanist actions and communiques in defense of wildness and against domestication. Quote, the primary reason I'm recording ITS specifically is personal. I've heard many strong opinions about ITS by those around me, and as a result, I've wanted to read their communiques. Recording them is a specific way of reading that helps me engage with the text in a deeper way than my usual read once and done approach. To record, I have to read it multiple times. I have to actually speak the words with my external voice to decipher and take on the wild emotions of the text. Reading them in this way, I've been pleased and interested by some of the themes in the communiques. Without spoiling too much, they viciously critique the left, revolution, enlightenment ideas, city life, technology, science, civilization, anarchists, and themselves. They also turn their critiques into violent action, and, in part due to being in Mexico, have been getting away with it. They actually have blood on their hands. They are still at large, active, and talking. That's exciting. Unquote.
Anarchy Radio from May 2nd, 2017. No co-host this week. Jay-Z is excited about the May Day actions. Quote, Pacific Northwest leads the way, unquote. Also excited about new anthropological evidence that people were here in North America far earlier than previously understood. ITS is still anti-humanitarian. Kevin Tucker is still getting into fights. Extreme weather, failing infrastructure, unusual mortality events and extinctions of marine life, California in more danger from rising ocean than previously thought, asthma increasing, and microplastics. Looking backward, author changed his mind in later life. Action news, Zerzan feels more ambivalent about Antifa. Head of AMA talks about how technology has been detrimental to healthcare.
This is the topic of the week, which this week is on May Day, and I'm here with Ariel.
Hello!
This May Day, we are going to take a look at the remembrance of things past, anarchist commemorations, celebrations, and events that have garnered an annual follow-up or situation that may. Horrible graphic. Or situations that may. How was your May Day? Did you call in sick to work, participate in building the general strike, support striking workers in a march? How do we remember and celebrate as anarchists? What are you remembering? What are you celebrating? Are there other anarchist commemorations throughout the year that have a strong that you have a strong connection with? An incomplete list includes December 6th. This is Alexis's, the anniversary of Alexis's death. March 29th, Chile, the Day of the Young Combatant. December 31st, International Prison Noise Demos. And June 11th, International Long-Term Support for Anarchist Prisoners. What else? Please feel free to share some May Day-related personal experiences and report backs here that may not make it to the general news feed, or tales from prior years and what made it a memorable experience. So, what do you think, Ariel?
What'd you do for May Day?
I took a half day off work and my house threw a May Day party. Mm-hmm. And I attended that party, which mostly involved people putting garlands of flowers in their hair. And there was a little bit of house dress up that never got taken down. And just general hangout celebration. A lot of our house parties sort of have a similar tenor, and the May Day celebration had that tenor.
Yes. One of my housemates actually also took the half day off work, which I had it's a nice theme to have on May Day. I've never really celebrated May Day. I remember years and years ago, there was a public anarchist kind of May Day thing in the streets of Berkeley. I'm not sure if permits were actually gotten, but I remember there being a maypole in the middle of the street.
Oh, was it Reclaim the Streets?
Was it a Reclaim the Streets thing? Yeah. And that was lots of fun. That was interesting. And I think it was the only one that was like that. Mm-hmm. And if I recall correctly, Critical Mass used to do May Day rides back in the day when there was a Critical Mass. And I remember going out and watching one of those when I was a young anarchist.
Well, I think this is an important thing to talk about, holidays, that is, because I'm feeling more and more that there are kind of two different types of anarchists. There are people who want to live life as anarchists in the here and now, and people who want to, who think that anarchism equals struggle. And I think for the anarchist equals struggle people, there are no holidays. There is no pause. There's, just the struggle. And I think for those of us who have sort of made a commitment to try to live an anarchist life, even in this world, that this idea of holidays is a really important one. I think that the missing holidays I noticed from this list included Halloween, mm-hmm. or something around Halloween. Being from Michigan, I recall Devil's Night being a holiday that I think could be reconciled with an anarchist position.
Absolutely.
I think that all the labor holidays have sort of a story that can be told that could connect it to an anarchist story. I think that Emma's birthday has been one that I've sort of seen celebrated, which is very close to my own birthday, so I kind of like that one. I think that there is some argument that the 11th of September might be some sort of an anarchist holiday.
Sure.
I recall years and years ago, waffles.
Terror Day.
Yes, right, Terror Day.
Terror Day. Waffles and the BBC.
But the idea that there's sort of relationships and a whole bunch of stuff worth celebrating and worth creating little traditions. I mean, honestly, the one that we do, our people, is birthdays, where we try to give everybody a week of celebrations, usually like 3 to 5 meals or something that happens around the week of someone's birthday. And it seems like that's one of the few holidays that sort of is somewhat unadulterated from capitalism. I mean, we tend to celebrate it with food, but yeah.
That's true. Not so much presents, maybe, but mostly with food. Yeah, there's something about walking away from your family and kind of letting go of all of those traditions around, all of the excuses that we use to have holidays, right? I noticed that Mother's Day is very soon, and if the Facebook didn't tell me, I wouldn't know these things, and I actually even like my mother, but I still don't care about this. So I think the celebration of holidays is important and is personal for me. January 19th is an important day for me. It's the day that Audrey Goodfriend died. And it is fairly close to my birthday. So it seems, always seems strange to me that I remember her death and less her birthday, but right. Because it was,
we weren't around for her birthday.
I had just moved back to the Bay from being gone for a while, and I'd spent some really nice time with her right around my birthday before she died, and so that resonates with me every year.
For those who don't know, and you can look this up, Audrey Goodfriend is who we're talking about. She was a longstanding member of the anarchist study group that happens in Berkeley every week, and she was in 90, I think 91 or 92 when she passed.
She was 90.
And she was sort of notable for being a black diaper baby raised in a Yiddish-speaking co-op in the Bronx, and her parents were radicalized to be anarchists because of Haymarket.
Yeah, but I don't think that we take holidays seriously enough. I don't think that we, in general, practice celebration and joy regularly and consistently. And if we're going to reject holidays and the buildup, the capitalist buildup around them, then maybe going in the direction of being personal and, you know, just picking a day and making that a holiday and deciding what we're going to celebrate. And yeah, I like holidays and ritual, and I feel like we don't have very much of it.
Yeah, it's fairly hard to do anything that looks like a holiday or a celebration without it being really corny.
Yeah, but why is that a bad thing?
Well,
I mean, corny's corny, but that doesn't make it any less joyful. It just means silly. And, you know, you might be a little uncomfortable. People might laugh at you. It's all right.
Yeah, I guess I fall victim to the same thing that a lot of urban anarchists fall victim to, which is that being cool is more important than eating good yums or, you know, the smell of a fireplace.
I believe it's noms, not yums. Yes. And never having been one of the cool kids, this is not my experience. What I was going to say. Oh, but before we start talking about this, I had to remind myself what May Day was about.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever it is that we do on May Day, we don't talk about that.
You mean the Haymarket?
The Haymarket Martyrs, right. Mm-hmm. And I didn't remember that was what it was connected to.
I have been to a May Day event or two where there are speeches given. People give some of the speeches that were given before our martyrs were put to death.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's great. I have not been to one of those. I would love to go to one of those. Perhaps maybe we'll put on one of those next year.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Of course, everyone will fight for the Louis Ling lines.
Yeah, I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Lizzie Parsons said some great stuff. She wasn't actually an anarchist.
And she wasn't also killed, but...
That's true.
I guess the point about May Day is that it is the most anarchist of holidays. It's worth reflecting on that. And... Yeah, and I think that maybe our exercise for the next year is to look for what holidays we can maintain going forward.
More opportunities to celebrate.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. One more time. I've got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate and dance so free. One more time. You just got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate and dance so free. You just got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate, celebrate and dance so free. The weekly Anarchy 101 question and some answers. In this segment, we take questions and some of the answers and responses from the website anarchy101.org. This is a user-moderated question and answer site for anarchists to answer questions on anarchist thought and activity. It has nearly a decade of questions and answers. This week, we address the question of why does capitalism rely on the state? Answer number one, because being based on an accumulation of capital, i.e. wealth, into the hands of a few people at the expense of the rest, it requires the accumulation of power into the hands of a few people, operating through a system of institutions of domination in order to protect the accumulation of wealth. This system of institutions of domination is what constitutes the state, and without it, the accumulation of capital necessary to capitalism would be implausible, if not impossible, simply because people wouldn't be that likely to put up with it. Answer number two, separating capitalism and the state is not really possible if we take a historical point of view. In what is known as Italian city-states, such as Venice or Florence, the richest merchants had obviously easier access to the governing.
prince, and so artisans and rural peasants had less. This close relationship between economic elites and political elites guaranteed each other privilege over the rest of society, and so obviously determined economic and political power for future generations and the priorities of the state. The question of so-called development and underdevelopment can show this relationship clearly. The strongest contemporary global powers, such as the US, the states of Western Europe, Japan, and China, have all strong, well-established states, just as well as strong, wealthy capitalist economies. Even though these countries preach free trade on third world countries, they achieve development through strong state intervention in legal systems, infrastructure, education, protectionist tariffs to foreign imports in order to develop a local industry, and also to create strong local markets. Strong modern states have developed alongside strong nationalist capitalist economies. The weakly established states, such as those of sub-Saharan Africa, have poor wealth and capital standards because of important sectors of territory not really being under the control of the state, and as such, capitalist economic growth and development cannot happen because of lack of infrastructure, the people being unaccustomed or unprepared for capitalist behaviors in terms of culture and needs, legal guarantees to profits and investments not being good enough to attract capitalist investors, etc. Why is sub-Saharan Africa the place of the weakest capitalist development in the world? Because it is the place of the world that gained independence from colonialism the latest, behind Asia and Latin America. As such, a country like Angola gained independence only in the late 70s, and then imperialist interests played geopolitical games after independence, helping armed conflicts continue. When we enter the 1980s, the world was already being driven into the neoliberal consensus and away from post-war developmentalism. Then no wonder they have weak states and weak capitalist economies. Even a place like Latin America, which gained independence in the 19th century, has problems like 40 years ago or more with the Civil War in Colombia. In Latin America, a racist white Eurocentric elite thought its history had been uninterested in developing a strong national economy, but only in gaining big profits for itself from agriculture, oil, and mining from trade with developed countries. So it is a place in the world with the worst inequality. I am aware that all this sounds like mainstream economics talk, but it is true. Of course, multinational corporations can gain big profits in Sweden and Nigeria. Development can be seen as an accumulation of such capitalist operations, which leads to a capitalist economy and away from only a specific capitalist operation. History has shown that the state has been an integral agent in capitalist development, and a lack of a state leaves a place in a pre-capitalist or non-capitalist situation. This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, the podcast was sound edited by Leno Mabel, written by Chisel, narrated by Chisel, a friend, and Aragorn. And thanks to Ariel for talking about the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org to learn more. For an introduction to anarchism through various questions and suggestions, anarchy101.org. Books, pamphlets, and other anarchist material is available at littleblackheart.com. News and up-to-the-minute commentary at anarchistnews.org. I heard that boogie rap.